Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Arizona State Parks and Trails podcast. For the past decade, June 30th has meant a lot to Arizona residents, and in particular to the communities of Yarnell and Prescott in the northern part of the state. It's on this date, June 30th, 2013, that 19 elite firefighters of the Granite Mountain Hotshots interagency crew perished while fighting the Yarnell Hill Fire. As we mark 10 years since that tragic day, we dedicate this episode to these heroes and remember their ultimate sacrifice protecting the community of Yarnell.
We're talking today about the tragic loss of the 19 Granite Mountain Hotshots. It's very emotional and difficult to discuss, but we think it's really important to always remember these men, their selflessness, and the legacy that they left.
Well, each person who hears the story of the 19 feels heartbreak over their loss. There is no one who knows it better than the community of Yarnell, where the fire threatened and destroyed homes, or the community of Prescott, where the Hotshots were based. And ultimately, no one can feel the loss more than the families of these 19 men. So we're going to speak with some of those people today to help tell their story and help us remember the sacrifice of the Hotshots.
Yeah. After the fire, Arizona State Parks worked with the families and the community to open a memorial state park in Yarnell at the scene of the fire. It was dedicated and opened in 2016 to pay tribute to these heroes, and it's visited by thousands each year who come to pay their respects.
And the senior park manager at the Memorial State Park is Jared Welsh, and Jared is a really cool guy and a Yarnell local, so he's super connected to the community and remembers that fateful day in June very vividly. He previously joined us on the podcast to share about the course of events that day.
I grew up in Yarnell. Parents bought a home here in 1980. I was always going back and forth between Yarnell, but was currently living here in 2013. And like most of us, you know, and I know this sounds like some small town talk, but we literally watched the fire start on June 28th. A lot of us celebrate the rain as it comes in. It's very exciting. That year, you know, it had been extremely dry the previous years. So we're out in our backyard, could smell the rain, the storm coming in. It was late in the evening. It was probably about, 3:30, 4 o'clock. And, we've seen the lightning strike the hill, and I mean, that was it. And it progressed pretty rapidly all the way to the 29th. It was kind of pittering and puttering around. And then on the 29th, the night of the 29th, it really burned a large portion of the mountains behind us. And I remember sitting out there and thinking, wow, this is actually kind of beautiful in a weird way. And we remember hearing the boulders cracking under the heat. You know, that was a really unique moment, something I don't know if I'll ever be able to relive, but hopefully never not. But, you never know. But so at that point, 30th, we wake up and it's pretty crazy. You're back to back airplanes flying over, all sorts of activity. There's over 300 staff members here now. And that's when the Granite Mountain Hotshots showed up on scene that morning on the 30th. They hiked up that morning and went to the origin of the fire. And man, just to think that those guys were out there hiking in 105 degrees that day, that's not even with the residual heat off the fire. That was just the actual ambient temperature. And, I think they did about a 10-mile hike back in there. They're wearing what they call Nomex. It's a fire retardant clothing, scratchy, kind of non-breathable material. So, they're just getting it, grinding it out. And, they carry a lot of their water up to, what they did particularly is they established a lunch spot early that day at the origin of the fire, also referred to as the anchor point, where they would start their fire line that day, their fuel break. And can you imagine carrying 5 gallons of water up those mountains, in these what they call QBs? It's just a square box with a plastic container in it, 5 gallons of it. On top of your gear, which, your line gear, you're looking at, 40 pounds in your pack. Your hand tools, And then if you're a Sawyer, you're carrying a steel 440 or 460 chainsaw with a 30-inch blade on it or bar. And those, you know, can weigh quite a bit too. So they're just in stellar shape, those guys. They really are. So that was the morning of the 30th. You know, progressing later that day, the monsoon storm is really the defining factor here. You know, showed up about 4 o'clock, you know, 3:30, and it changed the wind. It changed the direction of the fire, and you know, had a 180 degree directional change of the fire. The south flank of the fire, which had low fire behavior, became the front. And it went from 50-foot flame lengths to 150-foot flame lengths, and was growing exponentially. And that's when these guys were trying to make it to their safety zone, Boulder Springs Ranch. And they came off of the that anchor point, the lunch spot. They came down into the canyon and crossed over to where their safety zone was at and got cut off in a box canyon. That's got about a 550-foot elevation deviation. And that is referred to as a chimney in wildland science. So if you've ever had a wood-burning stove, you can imagine what a chimney has the effect of it. So they got caught in the bottom of it. At 4:30, the captain, Jesse Steed, was yelling. Granite Mountain Hot Shots were in front of the flaming front. And that's when you can hear chainsaws buzzing in the background, indicating that that's when the entrapment took place. So, you know, later, after that, I believe it was 4:45, Eric Marsh, the superintendent, is then on the comms, on the radio, and he's saying Granite Mountain Hot Shots, Division Alpha, Crew 7, our exit route's been cut off. We'll call you when we're under our shelters. And that was the last communications from the hotshots. And that was it. You know, 6:30, a Department of Public Safety helicopter ranger flew by, landed his helicopter, and then found them and confirmed that there were 19 hotshots that had lost their lives back there. And from that point on, I mean, within 24 hours, that place became a sacred ground.
We definitely do consider the fatality site sacred ground. And Jared really explained the gravity of the situation. If you haven't heard the story of what happened that day, he really paints a picture of the events and puts into perspective the toughness of these guys. And the way the residents felt that day, and tragically, how the hotshots were found together.
Jared also went on to share that the town and surrounding communities drew really close to support one another, and that's a sentiment that's shared by much of the town of Yarnell. They formed a 501c3 called the Yarnell Hill Recovery Group, and they fundraised to help rebuild the town, including 127 homes and other structures that were lost in the fire that day. The vegetation quickly regrew, as it often does in Arizona, and it covered the hillsides again within 3 years. However, the loss of life is still deeply felt, and that will never be forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, each of the hotshots was a brother, an uncle, a husband, a father, a friend, a son, and a grandson, and they all held a special place in someone's life.
Right. And even though each of them had different personalities and different lived experiences and unique skills and unique talents, they also held so many commonalities that they made their bond very strong, like a bond of brothers.
Oh, that is so true. We spoke with Lou Theakis, who is the grandfather of one of the hotshots, Garrett Zupiger. And Lou is a former wildland firefighter himself. And he reflected on the character of his grandson and the hotshots crew as a whole.
I'm sure a lot of people say this about their family grandchildren in particular, but he was a wonderful person. He was a great kid. He was a great young man. And I was always glad to see him and always proud of him. He wanted to do something to give back, and he had thought of joining the military, but his vision of what the military was like was a bit distorted. And I had to kind of like clue him in that maybe you're not going to be the guy smoking a cigar and driving the Coast Guard boat. So he opted to firefighting and looked into Granite Mountain Hot Shots and went to the fire school, which they hold at Embry-Riddle every spring. And the prize for the number one student at that school is a brand new pair of $400 Wildland boots. And before he was to that school, he told me, "Grandpa, I'm going to win those boots." And he did. But, you know, he wanted whatever he did, he wanted to do to the best of his ability. He threw himself into it 100%. And that's that's how he was with the Granite Mountain Hotshots. I remember he was his first year on this crew. They made him a sawyer, you know, managing a saw. And there's a lot of responsibility that went with that. You know, you got to be careful when you're cutting down. But that was the kind of person he was. He would have had a wonderful career ahead of him. If I could just tell you a quick story about the kind of kid he was.
Yes.
He came over for Easter dinner with his then girlfriend. And I had a truckload of gravel, rock, sitting by a ditch. And he said, "Grandpa, what's that rock doing in the truck?" I said, "Well, I got to fill the ditch in, but don't worry about it." He said, "You want me to take care of it?" And I said, no, just relax. It's Sunday. We're going to have dinner in a little while." And he disappeared for about 15 minutes. And he came back and he said, "I put that gravel. I emptied your truck." And I said, "Garrett, you didn't have to do that." And he said, "Well, I couldn't bear the thought of you taking 2 hours what I could do in 15 minutes." That was Garrett. And another thing that came to mind, another thing that I came to realize was when I was at the Pioneer Cemetery looking at the plaques on the ground. And you see the same words again and again: loving, loyal, friendly, willing to blah, 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 you know, and you see them over and again, you know, this would help out, helpful, and all of these superlatives of character that they possessed. And you realize that this was a maybe not a unique group of men. Maybe there are many more of them out there that have experiencing that sort of life, that are willing to help and go the extra mile and be a better friend and be a faithful person or a person of faith, and having an effect on somebody's life that they might not even be aware they're having. I mean, when I was a teacher, one of my mentors said, "You never know, you know, when you're having a teachable moment with a kid." So keep that in mind. And, you know, many of them may not have recognized the fact or the impact they were having on the lives of those around them until they were gone. And that was one of the things that came to mind. These were all persons, these young men were cut from the same cloth, if you will, which may have been why they felt such a bond, you know. And these boys, they're with us forever. You know, there's all of us, every one of them.
It's so special to hear memories like the ones Lou shared about Garrett. And we think about the fact that there were 18 other men who passed, and they were deeply loved with families who have these same kinds of memories and stories about them, just like Lou did.
Well, when you think about it, the ripple effect of how many people felt the loss of these men it's almost impossible to wrap your mind around. Their families, their friends, their neighbors. And as a result of the tragedy, it's also touching to know how the community drew together in the face of this devastating loss. Lou shared about that long-lasting effect.
Nothing brings people together like tragedy. And this community, Yarnell and Peoples Valley in particular, and Glen Isla, that bore the brunt of the Yarnell Hill fire, has become a much closer knit tighter and affectionate community. I mean, I go to functions now and I look around the room and I know almost everybody. And, you know, there's a lot of visiting that takes place in those venues and those experiences, like there will be, I'm sure, on the 30th. But that made a difference in a lot of people's lives and how they saw their neighbors and how they reacted and trying to, you know, commingle with their neighbors or however you want to put it. And that's made us a much stronger community, you know, a better community. And I'm proud to be a part of that. I feel blessed to be part of that.
In the time after the tragedy, the community not only began to rebuild and to come together, but over the years, we also created memorials to commemorate the 19 hotshots. The wildland firefighting community also did everything it could to ensure every lesson that could be learned from this terrible event was really taken to heart.
And I mean, every expert is going to tell you that the hotshots did everything according to their training and that the best wildland firefighting principles were exercised that day.
But even though they did do everything that they could, the fire was so powerful and very unpredictable, and ultimately it surrounded them.
Ben Palm, who served as the Yarnell Fire Chief following the Yarnell Hill Fire, joined us to share what it's like to step in as fire chief in the aftermath of the fire, as well as some insights about this tight-knit, hardworking team and the impact of their loss on their families.
He also shared the things that wildland firefighting agencies took away from this and other tragic wildland fire events.
You know, when I started the whole process to become the fire chief, I really didn't know what to expect, and there wasn't a whole lot of people around me that knew what to expect, because it's not something that happens very often. And of course, obviously, like you just stated, not to this amount of people, the 19 guys that brothers that died. So it was, every day was a new day, a new challenge, a new trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do to make things better, to make things go forward, to heal with the town, because, you know, this was happening, but also we had all the structures lost. So as a fire chief, I'm working with that, trying to help out with those different people, that all the things they went through. Some of the changes that have come upon the fire world, the wildfire world especially, has been, we're always aware of, even more now. I mean, we've always been aware of the weather and what goes on, but we pay attention to the concepts and things that have happened in the Yarnell Hill Fire, such as the hottest day of the year, the start of the monsoons, clouds coming in, smoke going up into massive columns that can collapse. While this was always looked at and given weather out to all the guys in the line, this is something that we really focus on and many times have extra meetings that maybe weren't done before, looking at this and concern and paying attention and pulling people out quicker. This is something that definitely happens more often now on, you know, years that it gets extreme like this, the same as it was there being the hottest time. And, yeah. And there's been other fires that, like the Dude Fire, that was similar in the sense of the hottest part of the season and those kind of things. So, yeah, so that's a big focus. Medical, having care there for people is always another big focus. To, you know, those guys, obviously they didn't make it, but, you know, had they, you know, had that many people and maybe some made it and were burned and hurt, there definitely would have needed to have been more medical personnel there. So that's something the fire world and has taken from this and other incidents that's happened in the past. And has decided that, hey, we need to do more, especially in the Southwest, focus more on medical stuff and also the weather and knowing what's happening, what's coming, really focus on this stuff. You know, I work with the different hotshot teams each year. I'm on the fire with them and talk to them. And one of the things you're going to see with hotshots is that they always work together in a tight group. They're very tight knit, very hardworking, extremely hardworking. They're just a family, and they go in there, and it's even after they've gone and I work with guys that have been, you know, hotshots 20, 30 years ago, and they're still part of that family. So even through their whole life, so you never leave that. And so when the Granite Mountain Hotshots, when they had their, they were the same way as everyone else. They were a team. They worked hard together. They slept, they ate, everything was together. And so, you know, they were focused on a job. They were focused on getting the things done they need to get done. And that's the way they all are. And so it's just, they're just like all the, in the sense of the other teams, they're the same way. Gratitude is great. We all love gratitude and a pat on the back, but the reality is that's not why we're doing this. It's a job. It's a, it's, I guess it'd almost be like a calling in one way, because it's just something, it's, you have the ability to go out and make a difference everywhere you go. And so that's the job. And it, you're not looking for any kind of reward or, you know, like, hey, it's more of each other. Hey, look what we, you know, we did, working together as a team, working together on a fire where one big team comes together. And that's what it's about. And I come out every year because I enjoy the people. I enjoy, it's a challenge, I guess, is what a big part of it. And that's the same way with Hotshots. I mean, it's a challenge up there. They're out there. They've got a job to do. And when they get it done, they're, you know, it's a fulfillment. And so each one of us want to fulfill the things that, and I guess it's also a little dangerous. And, you know, maybe each one of us have a little bit of something, like to live on the edge a little bit, and especially the Hotshots, more than most of us are out there in some pretty crazy circumstances and pretty big fires. And so it's, yeah, it's pretty amazing. I guess the biggest thing for me is that one of the things that sometimes maybe people forget is that the 19 guys and doing an amazing job, working hard, and then as this tragedy happened, the thing happens, all the family, all the connections of their immediate personal family, they're still impacted, continue to impact, and those are the ones that we also need to make sure we never forget. To be encouraging them, to be come alongside them from here on out, because there's always going to be more tragedies, but we definitely want to make sure that we be there for the families and always honor their loved ones in a proper way.
Part of how we can continue to support the families as time marches on is to be fire safe and do all we can personally to minimize wildfire impacts to our own homes and communities. Chief Palmer went on to discuss how important preventative measures are, like removing combustible vegetation from around your home and structures.
Another way to support the families, of course, is just to remember the 19 men of the Granite Mountain Hotshots crew. Like in the last 10 years, there have been a bunch of memorials and organizations set up to commemorate their lives and sacrifice. One place you can read about the stories of each of the crew members is on our website at azstateparks.com/hotshots. And we'll include a link to that, of course, in our show notes. But then in 2016, Arizona State Parks opened the Granite Mountain Hotshots Memorial State Park.
Right. It's a very touching memorial, and every June 30th at 4:41 p.m., which is the time of the last radio call that was heard from the 19 members of the Hotshot crew while they were trapped. At that time, we chime a bell, and we say aloud the names of each of the fallen at the trailhead of the Memorial State Park.
And on this 10th anniversary, there are special events planned in Prescott, where the crew is based, and in the town of Yarnell. On Friday, June 30th at 3:00, the Granite Mountain Hotshots commemoration team is going to host a public memorial at the Yavapai County Courthouse.
Yeah, and the Yarnell Area Resource Group will also host a memorial at the town park in Yarnell, just like you mentioned, Neil. So you can find more information about the Prescott commemoration event at experienceprescott.com. And for the event in Yarnell, you can find details at yarnellarearesourcegroup.org. And again, we'll put both of those links right in our show notes.
And you can also visit the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew Learning and Tribute Center in Prescott, which is celebrating its 5th anniversary this year and having an event to celebrate that on June 29th.
Right. That center exists to tell the story of the 19, of course, but it also displays artifacts and memorabilia left by members of the community in tribute after the tragedy. So it's really special to see those. And it also serves to educate visitors about wildland fire, about wildland fire fighting, and about wildland fire prevention. So it's a great place to learn. Information about the Learning and Tribute Center is available at gmihc19.org. And again, we're keeping it easy. You don't have to remember these links. You can find them right in our show notes.
Yep. And another way to commemorate the 19 hotshots is by visiting the Yarnell Hill Fire Memorial Park in the town of Yarnell. And that's located along Highway 89 and Shrine Street, just across from the Yarnell Fire Department.
That's right, Neil. That's where one of the memorial events is going on June 30th. And that park highlights the events of 2013 and the effects that it had on the community of Yarnell. You know, and the homes that they lost and the businesses to the fire. Visitors will also be able to learn at that memorial park about the resources that are available for fire mitigation and safety of your property that may be built in natural areas.
That's so important. And of course, we hope that everyone at some point takes the opportunity to visit the Granite Mountain Hotshots Memorial State Park, which is located on State Route 89, southbound between Prescott and Yarnell.
Along the trail and at the trailhead itself, there are commemorative plaques of each of the 19 hotshots. So you can actually see their pictures and learn about their lives. There's also a beautiful bronze statue of a wildland firefighter at the trailhead. And that was donated to the park by the Wildland Firefighter Guardian Institute in 2018. And it's a really beautiful statue.
Oh, for sure. The detail is awesome. I'm always amazed at how people can build statues like that. Mm-hmm. But if you actually hike the trail, please be prepared. I mean, it's strenuous and there's not really any shade. So it's a good idea to do it in cooler weather and make sure you bring plenty of water and salty snacks to stay hydrated.
Right. Safety first, always. But if you do hike the Hotshots Trail from the parking lot trailhead, you can go up to an overlook where you'll see sweeping views in every direction, kind of like what they may have seen that day. And there you can leave a memento on our remembrance wall right at the observation deck, if you like. It's kind of cool to see. There are many tokens and patches and challenge coins from other firefighting crews and service members from all over the country.
Yep. And then when you're hiking, you can continue all the way down to the Journey Trail, where you can pay respects at the actual fatality site where the hotshots were recovered. If you go down there, we ask everyone to please be respectful during your time there and remember that this is a place considered sacred ground by the community, by Arizona State Parks, and especially the families of the fallen hotshots.
Right. Yeah, that's really important to be respectful. So thanks for mentioning that, Neil. The hike in total, if you go, is about 7 miles. So we cannot stress this enough. Please go prepared for this hike. Use your best judgment about continuing down the entire trail. It is a one-way hike. So when you walk down the switchbacks of the steep Journey Trail, remember that you have to go back up out the same way. So be very careful about that. But if you go, it is a very somber and meaningful experience to visit this site.
And keep in mind before your trip, there is very limited parking at the trailhead. And on June 30th, there will be a shuttle running from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. From the Yarnell Fire Department in Yarnell, right on State Route 89. So you can park there and catch a shuttle to visit the Memorial State Park. But please do not park along Highway 89 at any time.
Right. Yeah, it's not really safe to park along the highway. And that shuttle doesn't normally run in the summer. during the rest of the year, it runs from October through May on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And you can learn more about the Memorial State Park and the Hotshots at azstateparks.com/hotshots. That'll help you plan your trip. The link is in our show notes, of course.
Right. And that runs October through May because that's pretty much the perfect time to hike that trail.
Mm-hmm. It's a little cooler then.
Man, we hope you'll always remember these brave men and their sacrifice to protect others, the tributes, the memorials, and all of the recognition and accolades that have been given in their honor. So much attention might have actually embarrassed the crew given their dedication to serving others.
Definitely. That's what those who we've talked to that knew them have kind of all said. We spoke with Karen Norris, who is the mother of Hotshot Scott Norris. And that's what she said. Karen is a founding member and sits on the board of the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew Learning and Tribute Center in Prescott.
And Karen explained the humble nature of her son and all the crew members, plus what the memorials and the 10-year mark means to her and her family.
They were camera shy to a fault, to the point where if one of them interviewed with a TV or radio, whatever, they would have to buy lunch for the rest of the crew or dinner. They had consequences for being in front of a camera. And so they wanted to just do their job. And that's the thing, is that they would probably say we were just doing our job. You know, one more little anecdote that I remember Scott sharing with me after the Dosey fire. There were a lot of hotshot crews in town fighting that fire. And so they were just one of many. And they all, whatever, 20 of them walked into some place for lunch after being out. You know, they had been out all day fighting the fire and maybe late dinner or early dinner, late lunch. And the whole place got up and started cheering for them, and they got a free lunch.
Oh, nice.
And he just, he said, Mama, it's getting embarrassing because that was starting to happen because they did save some property out Williamson Valley Road. And they also, the Granite Mountain Hotshots saved the tree, the juniper tree. And so they were, and that was why one of the guys was interviewed, and they gave him a hard time. Dustin DeFord. The Hotshots are very humble group. They're a humble group of guys that don't want accolades. They would probably, but for me, all of these tributes and memorial ceremonies and are very, that I am honored. We are honored. My husband, Jim, and I are honored. Joanna, we are honored that our son is remembered, that he and his fellow crew members are remembered, even though they did sacrifice all. Mm-hmm. And so, it's more these memorials and the state park, the center, all of these things are for us that are left behind. And they're very meaningful and just powerful and places to go to give, to be with other people and to enjoy nature and at the tree and on the hike. And because these guys love nature, that's why they were out in it a lot. Mm-hmm. They slept on the ground a lot. They breathed a lot of smoke on some fires, and they got very dirty and they ate a lot. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to point out that they would, they wouldn't want all the acclaim. Things have gotten easier. Our grief was profound at first, and we still feel the loss of Scott. But we have a strong family, we have strong faith, and we have we're recovering, and God is healing our hearts.
Our deepest gratitude to Lou Theakis, Ben Palm, Karen Norris, and Jared Welsh for sharing with us for this special episode. Each of these guests spoke with us at length and have a lot of meaningful information to share and stories to tell. So we're releasing each of their full interviews in the following days. Please watch for those and give them a listen. We'd also like to thank our team members, Ken Sliwa and Carlos Ramirez, for their work producing this episode. Thanks for listening.